This is the OT Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Brian Andrew. I'm here with my overpaid, overvalued backup quarterback, Stephen Galindo. How you doing?
You know, I'm getting overpaid to be on this podcast. So I'm going and I'm excited to be here. We drop an episode with, an hour-long episode. Got a bunch of updates on trades around the league. And of course, the day it comes out, there's like 100 more trades. So, we're back again to update everybody, to give you our takes on these hot trades. And I think we just need to jump right into it.
Right. So I would probably say the biggest story since we last recorded would probably be just because of the implications it has throughout, not just the team he got traded to, but multiple teams. Justin Fields gets traded for a conditional 6th-round pick to the Steelers, who literally just signed Russell Wilson. So I don't know how you want to unpack this first. I guess we can unpack it from the Steelers side. Just a quick question. Way too early. Training camp hasn't started. Who's the week one starting quarterback?
I think Russell Wilson is going to be the week one starting quarterback.
All right. I wouldn't argue against that. I don't think you bring Russell Wilson in unless he's going to start week one. I think Justin Fields is probably the quote unquote quarterback of the future. There's 17 games in a season. Who starts more games for the Steelers next season, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
I think Russell Wilson. I think he'll play out the year as the number one quarterback, and then they'll move on. And I think a year under Russell Wilson, getting to shadow Russell Wilson is a positive for Justin Fields. Justin Fields is still young; he's still got a lot of career left. So I think they're playing the long game here, and they got him at a steal.
A sixth round pick is low key disrespectful. I certainly felt he was at least a 3rd-round value.
Is this disrespectful on the part of Chicago or disrespectful on the part of Pittsburgh?
Chicago, I guess. Steelers too. I don't know. It's disrespectful too. I think I think Justin Fields, although he does have accuracy issues, he is probably in the top 15 quarterbacks in the league. I would probably say he's better than half the league at quarterback. And to ship him for a 6th-round pick when you drafted this guy in the 1st round and he's had some success. It's not like he's Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's the type of quarterback who get traded for a 6th-round pick. So it felt like the Bears were just trying to get rid of him. I think they were trying to establish the Caleb Williams thing already. But Justin Fields is now in the Steelers system with Russell Wilson ahead of him. I felt like if the Steelers were going to make this move, I think they would have not made the Russell Wilson move then. But maybe they just saw an opportunity and they took it. It creates, in my opinion, if I'm Russell Wilson and I feel like I need to prove myself, you wanted to sign with a team that A, could win already, but B, you felt like there was no competition. And now there's competition. I don't know if Russell Wilson even knew, was even given a heads up when he signed the deal that this might happen. But we'll see. I think if the Bears waited, I think a team would have been more desperate to get Justin Fields and would have given him a better offer. I also think if they completed this deal before free agency started, they probably couldn't have got a better deal too, because Atlanta ended up getting Kirk Cousins, and a lot of these teams have gone different quarterbacks, Sam Howell's now in Seattle. I think there's been a lot of moving pieces, but there's still quite a few teams that could probably still use another quarterback. So I think the Bears, I don't know, just everything about this deal just makes us feel like the Bears just took the only deal that they got. And it's, I don't know, but they're getting the quarterback they want, whether it's Caleb or somebody else. Most likely it's Caleb. But I certainly felt like they could have traded Justin Fields and got more for it, but that's just me.
No, I 100% agree. I think they could have at least got a third round pick. I mean, you draft this guy number 11 overall in 2021, and then like 3 years later, you're trading him for, you know, a pack of marbles. So, I mean, you know, there's always those diamonds in the rough, you know, at the last couple rounds there of the draft. But yeah. I'm surprised that Pittsburgh traded for him. But I mean, hey, if you're only giving up a 6th round pick and your quarterback room isn't that deep, like, I think, you know, obviously the winner in this trade to me is Pittsburgh, because not only do they have a quarterback, you know, for this year and next year, but then they have a quarterback for the future, you know? And so, I mean, the Steelers somehow find a way to go over 500 every year and slip into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to do the same thing again this year.
Yeah. Do you feel like... I like the deal a lot if I'm Pittsburgh, because like we said, like, Justin Fields could, you know, probably manage a game better than Kenny Pickett, if anything. You know, he's a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett. I think we all agree with that. But it's a good deal for the future. It just feels like, does that mean Russell Wilson's completely on a prove it deal? Like he's, because they can't, I don't think, because if, let's just say Russell Wilson actually came back and he looked like Seattle Russell Wilson, you gotta put Justin Fields in eventually. You know what I mean? Like,
well, which Seattle Russell Wilson are we talking about?
Let's just say 2 seasons before he got traded to Denver, Seattle.
Okay. Yeah. He struggled a little bit.
Yeah. Like, but he was still a winning quarterback, you know? So,
yeah. It's hard to bench your starter when they're winning.
And so if he's Denver or Russell, I think Justin Fields is going to be in by week 3. but
actually, I honestly thought Russell did good last year.
He did all right, yeah.
His first year in Denver, it wasn't that good, but I don't think that was 100% his fault. Last year, I mean, he looked decent. They were winning games, or I mean, they were in games. Other than, you know what? I mean, that Miami game was a bad game, but I mean, after that, like, they turned it around. I mean, the offense was okay. The defense couldn't stop anybody. So, I mean, you know, I mean, he's Mr. Unlimited. So I think, yeah, you know, give him 1 year, you know, let him run the offense.
Let's ride.
Yeah. Let's ride. Let's ride. And, you know, Justin Fields, you know, if all else fails, you know, you have a decent backup and you only traded away a 6th round pick. So,
oh, yeah. Steelers are doing it. And to be honest, Steelers are on my team. It's not my issue. If I was the Steelers as a fan, I guess I would be just slightly concerned that the timing of having both of them might cost you a win or two. You know what I mean? Like, they might keep Russell out there too long. Or there'll just be enough pressure to bring Justin Fields in, and maybe Russell wasn't playing that bad. It's just, you know, he has one off game, you know? So I just feel like sometimes, the old saying, when you have two quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks. I just don't want them to be in that situation, but I'm not a Steelers fan, so I guess that's not my problem. Would you pick Justin Fields up and stash him in fantasy next year?
It depends on how many bench spots your league allows you. I mean, if going into the season Russell Wilson is the starter, I don't think I'm too worried about holding on to Justin Fields, you know, unless you got that one roster spot. Because, you know, roster spots are like, you know, they're gold.
They
you
are.
Know? Like, you need some depth, you know, at your running back, because running backs obviously get injured more often. You need a little bit of depth at receiver, you know, come bye weeks. And then you want to have one or two, like, lottery tickets. But, you know, I think those lottery tickets should be in positions like tight end, wide receiver, running back. Not necessarily a quarterback unless, you know, you got a 2-quarterback league. So,
well, okay.
Let I've me, seen let, a trend over the last few years. regarding quarterbacks, and it's kind of weird, but a lot of people have been picking up a quarterback, right? They draft their starter, they draft a second quarterback, and then even sometimes they just hold on to two quarterbacks on their bench, and it's kind of like holding the quarterbacks hostage, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the rest of the league is unable to pick up a quarterback as needed, or if they're like last year, quarterbacks were getting hurt left and right, and like the waiver wire was so thin because people were holding on to quarterbacks for dear life. So, I mean, I think it's not bad if you were to hold them on your bench, but if you really need the spot, I wouldn't be stressed about
it. It'd probably be your first cut if you need the spot. Because I was going to say, like, Justin Fields, I think you agree with me, top 10 fantasy quarterback potential. And so if something were to happen to Russell, he gets benched, he gets injured, you have a potentially a top 10, especially if you drafted your quarterbacks late and you're not confident in your quarterback. Like you got, like, let's just say, I don't know, you slept on quarterbacks and then you ended up getting, off the top of my head, Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. I don't know. All right, I'll stop. So you get Kirk Cousins and you're like, yeah, I'm a little iffy about it. Having Justin Fields with the potential of being a top 10 quarterback. My question for you, though, would be, do you think he could be a top 10 quarterback in an Arthur Smith offense?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Why not? I mean, Arthur Smith likes to run the ball. Justin Fields is, a pretty good dual threat quarterback. You know, use his strengths.
All right. So on the other side of this, Chicago now doesn't have a quarterback. They have the number one pick in the draft, most likely. Anything could happen. You know, Washington could maybe trade up or something. But as of right now, if things stand the way they are, I think Caleb Williams will probably go number one. Chicago, we could talk more about Caleb when we get to the draft episode. But it looks like it's officially Caleb to Chicago. The Chicago Bears have brought in Keenan Allen to basically give him a good, solid veteran receiver who could still go in the league. Keenan Allen was at Caleb Williams' pro day. It seems like they're trying to put together a pretty decent team around Caleb Williams to start his rookie year. Yeah, DeAndre Swift. Yeah, Keenan Allen. I'm blanking on who's the other wide receiver already. Is it DJ Moore?
Yeah, DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. So solid. You know, Kmet's there. Solid team. Hopefully that line could block for him. Caleb Williams mentioned that he doesn't like to run, although we know he can. Are you at all worried about any of the position players on Chicago if Caleb Williams is their quarterback next year?
You know, I'm just iffy in general of a rookie quarterback. Last year you had Anthony Richardson, who started off slow, picked it up, got hurt. Then you had Bryce Young, who was the number one overall pick, didn't really look that good. And then you had CJ Stroud, who by midseason picked it up and looked pretty good. So, am I worried about the positions? Maybe in the first couple games, I'm a little worried. But, if they draft a number one overall and they did all these trades, you know, to set up an offense around them, they're going to stick with them. So, I would lower my expectations out the gate. But I think it's one of those things that, like, if you take that risk at the beginning, or, you know, you take that risk, you hold on to them, I think it'll pay off in the end.
I would say this is probably one of the better put together offenses in terms of position and skill set. We'll see if it works. Maybe it's just not going to work. But in terms of position and skill set, this is probably one of the best primed offenses a quarterback could join the league into. Like, even when CJ Stroud last year, like, there's Nico Collins and a bunch of rookies, and it worked. But that's what the offense was. You know, Bryce Young wasn't put in the best position either. Caleb's got some weapons around him.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to coaching.
And that's where I was like, ah, it may not work. And, you know, Keenan Allen has his own injury history. DeAndre Swift has an injury history. This team could literally look like a skeleton crew of what's potential could be in a week or two, you know? So it's, but we'll see. But at least we have a kind of an idea of what Chicago's going for now. Speaking of that, Keenan Allen's over there. Another wide receiver, Calvin Ridley joins the Titans. And this one was this one's funny because me and you have had conversations and we both are like, I don't know about that. I don't know about him going to the Titans. And then all of a sudden, like a couple days later, you hit me up. You're like, I think the Titans are going to be sneaky good.
I think the Titans are looking sneaky good. They got Tony Pollard. They got DeAndre Hopkins. Now they got Calvin Ridley. And then, you know, you throw in a bazooka arm quarterback like Will Levis. Like, you know, he's going to be a gunslinger. So I think these guys are going to be sneaky good. Like, maybe the Titans will, you know, come in second in the division or, you know, end the season at, you know, 9-8 or 10-7. But I think that for fantasy purposes, I think some of these guys are going to be every week starters. And I think this even includes DeAndre Hopkins, even though, you know, he's reaching he's getting older, that age. Mm-hmm. But I think, I think things are looking up for them as far as fantasy relevance goes.
Yeah, I think Will Levis has an opportunity to take that next step, but he could also just not. It kind of reminds me of Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh, right? He had the tools, so we all had this idea that it's like, oh, well, Kenny Pickett, second year, he has the tools to be really good and just didn't pan out. Will Levis is probably in a similar boat where it's like he has the tools, it's just let's see if it pans out. He has good weapons around him. And yeah, you're right about like where the Titans could be in the division, because it's like, you know, we consider the Titans kind of in a rebuild, but it doesn't seem like they are. It looks like they just shed some of their contracts and brought in different contracts, you know. And the AFC South, no matter what, like no matter who's competing, whether it's the Texans, Jags, or the Colts, it's a winnable division no matter who you are. You know, you're just a few moves away from being right there in the middle of the pack of everybody else. So, I think they can be sneaky good. I think it all depends on Will Levis. We'll see if they try to. I thought the Titans would have been a decent team to try to get at least a little bit more depth in the QB position. Just, you know, maybe a veteran behind Will Levis or something like that. But
Like a Joe Flacco,
you know. But, yeah, we'll see. Maybe they'll draft a decent quarterback just to kind of put some pressure on Will Levis to deliver this year. But, they are sneaky good. I agree with you. I guess the other big wide receiver move, and this one, I'll be honest with you, It didn't make me have an emotion at all, but that's Mike Williams going to the Jets.
Yeah, Mike Williams is going to be coming off an ACL. He's going to be paired up with Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles. If he comes back, though, and he's healthy enough, I think he might, you know, he might fall in that flex territory. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, obviously, if they go through, you know, another injury and do all that again, then, you know.
I do think the Jets need to invest in a backup quarterback. They should just cut ties with Zach Wilson and either draft a decent quarterback. Because, like, keep in mind, this team is built pretty well-rounded. It's just the quarterback position is hurting them. So, and who knows, Aaron Rodgers could be vice president in November. Like, so it's doubt. But how should I put this? I don't think this is a needle mover by any means. But if he's healthy in training camp, Aaron Rodgers looks healthy in training camp, I would take a flyer on Mike Williams. But I wouldn't.
Yeah, he'd be like a, you know, I don't know, 11th, 12th, and so on round.
Yeah, pick, like you're a little weak in wide receiver position, or you're just trying to draft an extra weapon. Go for it. You know, he'll at least give you probably a good 3 to 4 weeks, you know, of just like stellar performance, and then either an injury stalls him or just, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't looking his way. But yeah.
Another wide receiver that made a splash, your boy, Mac Hollins, going to the Bills.
And so did Curtis Samuel. That's me blowing over the Mac Hollins.
Yeah, and Curtis Samuel. I'm actually kind of excited about this signing here. I think Curtis Samuel will fit well into that offense. And, you know, Gabriel Davis was a little bit of a different type of wide receiver than Curtis Samuel. And, you know, with the quarterback, you know, like Josh Allen, I think, you know, Curtis Samuel holds some flex appeal, wide receiver two, possibly, you know, in 12-team leagues. He looked good last year, you know, surprisingly.
He was pretty reliable.
He was like the number one receiver over Terry, Terry and Jahan Dotson. So, and obviously Josh Allen is an upgrade from Sam Howell. So, I'm excited to see what they make of this, but I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to be a sleeper in the fact that, like, usually you wouldn't take a second wide receiver in Buffalo, and I think he might be one worth taking.
Would you take him over Mike Williams?
All day, every day.
This does seem, and someone could correct me if I'm wrong, and some people might have different opinions on this, but Josh Allen would be his first good quarterback that he's played with, huh? Like, yeah, you could say Sam Howell was fine, but Josh Allen's his first, I guess, great quarterback. I'll use the word great. Yeah, right? Like, he didn't have anyone in Carolina or anything that was good, right?
No.
So we'll see, you know. Someone signed to the Chiefs, I'll let you take it from there.
Hollywood Brown signed to the Chiefs. You know what? When I saw the news, I was like, really excited. I think you know, he's looked good the last couple of seasons. I know he got hurt last season, but he came out the gate last season with, you know, who was their quarterback? I don't even know who the quarterback was for Arizona.
Kyler Murray was later in the year. Oh, wasn't it Dobbs?
Dobbs, yeah. He came out. He looked good with Dobbs. Dobbs got moved so much I forgot he played in Arizona. Yeah. Dobbs looked good. Marquise Brown looked good. You know, his last, like, season in Baltimore, he looked good. And, you know, he's still young. I think he's going to flourish in this offense. You know, he's a type of receiver that is a good, you know, mid to long range route runner. And I think that's what we need, is somebody who can spread the field. And I'm excited to see how it goes. I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes is, for me, backup, you know, to one of those top three quarterbacks. Rashee Rice for me is, I think, a solid wide receiver too. You know, Travis Kelce for me is still in that top two tight end discussion. Obviously, Sam Laporta looked pretty good. So, I mean, I'm excited. I don't know what else to say. I think, you know, they're ready to get going for that three-peat. I know you don't want to see him win a three-peat, but
nope.
You know, I'm all for it, man. But, you know, the flip side of this is we lost L'Jarius Sneed to the Titans.
To the Titans, yeah.
And so that's obviously a big hole in the defense that we have to fill. But, you know, I think we've drafted well the last, you know, 5 years, three to 5 years. So I think we'll fill that position in the draft. And, you know, hopefully our defense is young overall. So hopefully, you know, we'll be able to probably not have the same success we had this past season, but as long as we're, you know, top of, you know, the within the top 10 defenses, I think, you know, there's that chance to three-peat. So
I don't know if I'm going to get you on a hot take yet. Hollywood Brown, more fantasy points than Travis Kelce?
That's a hard one. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no because okay. Travis Kelce is like the go-to guy for Patrick Mahomes. And
All right, more fantasy points than Pacheco?
Yes, it's possible.
More points than Rice?
Yes, it's possible.
So basically, going into drafts next year, you're the Chiefs expert. Hollywood Brown, basically 1A, 1B with Travis Kelce in terms of getting Chiefs production next season. Like if you're buying stock in the Chiefs offense, you're saying Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I'm a believer in Hollywood Brown. They wouldn't go out and get him if they didn't believe in him. So
yeah.
As long as he's 100% healthy going into the season, like for me, I think he's a solid like 6th to 8th round pick, you know, depending on how you decide to, you know, to take those first 5 rounds. I think he's a solid wide receiver too.
Yeah. Especially if you sleep on the wide receiver position, I think you could take some stuff. You know, like some people like to draft tight ends, running backs, quarterbacks early. So you end up sleeping on the position. I think Hollywood Brown should be there around round 4 or 5, maybe, you know, unless like he looks so good in training camp. I think there will be some people who have more stock in Rice than they do Brown, but Brown's actually done it for more than one team in the league. And now he's got the best quarterback in the league. So, staying in the AFC West, Madison goes to the Raiders.
Alexander Madison.
We're both meh about this.
Like, yeah, you know.
Like, I think all it does is, like, my only take on it is it just muddles the fantasy outlook on the Raiders running back situation. Is that I still, like, I think me and you both agree that White would still be running back one for the Raiders. It just muddles like how much volume. Is Madison going to vulture some touchdowns? Is now White going from maybe a 3rd or 4th round pick? Now is he a 5th or 6th, 7th round pick? Because you're like, I'm not quite sure. Who knows? What if Madison goes in there and has a great training camp? Like this just muddles the whole thing. But I'm like whatever about it, to be honest. I don't know if I really have any stock in Madison next year.
I 100% agree. You know, it does. It just makes the situation very confusing because if they're going to share the backfield, to me, none of them are going to be, you know, in my top 5. Maybe a 0 running back strategy. I'm looking at White over Madison, but, you know, I think this is going to have to be something that plays out during training camp, and we're probably going to have to call in a Raider expert, you know, when we're doing our preseason reviews of the teams. Yeah. And see, you know, and see what they have to say. But right now, I think, you know, White is still the guy. I think he's going to be, you know, the 1A, even just the 1. I think Madison comes in, you know, spells him out when, you know, on 3rd downs and passing situations, kind of like he did with Delvin Cook, because he was good in that role.
And then, he was good in that role, and he was the guy that went in there when Delvin Cook got him close to the red zone. Or whoever did, Madison would kind of take those carries that got him inside the 10, if that makes sense. And then Dalvin Cook went back in the game. So it's kind of like that relationship that was also in Cleveland, right? It was kind of like Nick Chubb got him close to the red zone. Kareem Hunt went in and got him within the 10. Then Nick Chubb went back in the game. So it might be something similar, but we'll see. Because if Madison just looks like a rock star in training camp, then I don't know what value that does for White.
I think with White being on the team already, being under Pierce, you know, I think he holds the advantage.
Who knows? And the Raiders could just go out there and draft the running back and muddle it even more. Like, and I honestly think too, as much as I think Gardner Minshew is a cool guy, I don't think he's the long-term solution there. They might draft a quarterback, so that also might affect the running game as well. But do you have anything else before we talk about Aaron Donald.
Man, you gave it away. I was hoping you'd cry when we brought it up. No, I just wanted to. I was looking at because you know you mentioned Nick Chubb and the situation in Cleveland. So I was just kind of looking at the the update here on Nick Chubb. And it doesn't seem like there's really a big update on it, other than you know his rehab is going good so far, and I don't know. They say they're shooting for the beginning of the season, but I think that's far fetched.
They should probably try to find a long-term solution there too, because I think Nick Chubb probably has, even if he has 3 or 4 years left in the league, probably only 1 or 2 of those are left with Cleveland. Eventually, Cleveland's going to have to move on to something else. So I would look at a longer-term solution there too if I'm Cleveland. Aaron Donald, legend, retired recently for the Rams. My first thought, this might open up some cap space for the Rams.
it sure does.
Man, it actually, like, that's kind of how I felt about the Rams the last couple of years. Is like, all right, you got Stafford, you got Donald, and you have Kupp, and you have all these big contract players. Like, it kind of like stalls, like, you improving. You know, you can only improve through the draft, and they didn't have a lot of draft picks. They've actually been able to make it work. You know, they had the one losing season, and last year they were in the playoffs. But you're losing probably the best defensive lineman in the league. But you are now opening yourself up to be able to make better moves, bigger moves. If maybe they think Puka's the guy, maybe even next season they move on for Cooper Kupp, and that even opens up their cap space even more. So I think the Rams are in a situation where they could, you know, rebuild without more of a retool than a rebuild. I've heard some GMs like to use that terminology. I feel like the Titans are doing a similar thing. They're retooling and not rebuilding. But yeah, legend. I'm great. I'm glad he got the ring. I'm glad he was a Ram. It's actually not very common for someone to play for just one team in their entire career, so that was special as well. And he's played for St. He's been there since they were in St. Louis. Came to here in L.A. and he was the face of the franchise, and it was awesome. So,
do you think that he retired because there's a possibility he would get traded?
I wouldn't be surprised if discussions were happening, like giving him a heads up, like, hey, if we're gonna have to, if we want to compete, you know, we might have to trade you at some point. But he legitimately said in an interview that he just lost the passion for the game, and you know, I'm sure that does somewhat happen. You know, it's the off season. He's probably enjoying it, and in the back of his head, he's like, damn, I got to go to like mini camp or training camp soon. He's like, maybe he's just tired of going to work. And he won the ring. He's made his money. If you can get out of the league while you're still healthy, go for it. And and I've even, you know, and plus, like, an underrated thing is the defensive line coach that was coaching for the Rams, he's now coaching at USC. So I think he's probably lost his passion, lost his coach, and he's like, you know what, I'm good. I've accomplished a lot. So,
yeah, you know what? I like Aaron Donald. He got his ring, so that's good. At least he doesn't retire with no ring, because obviously he's a good enough player to deserve a ring. But
yeah,
you know, obviously in the NFL, it's a lot. I think NFL is one of the hardest sports to win the championship.
Oh, absolutely.
And so for him to be able to get that ring, it's really good. And, you know, like you said, he's been there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a heck of a career. And like you said, if he's, you know, somewhat healthy or on the healthier side, you know, and he doesn't have the passion anymore, I think he can kind of venture onto new things. And he's obviously going to make money doing something else. And so, you know, we wish nothing but the best for Aaron Donald. But the show goes on, right?
Absolutely. And as a Rams fan, I'll welcome it. I'll miss him, but I'll welcome the fact that, you know, there'll be a fresher team probably in LA in the next couple of years. So, on that note, you could find us on Twitter and X at OTFantasyFball. Come say hi. We appreciate it. I feel like we've gotten a couple more listeners or a few more listeners the last episode, you know, so that's good. I like to see that. You can find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you want to find it. And, you know, like I said, subscribe. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know how bad we're doing. Let us know how good we're doing. And, yeah, we appreciate all the feedback because you guys could be doing anything with your time, but you're spending it with us.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. Like Brian mentioned, like, share, subscribe, rate us on Spotify, rate us on Apple Podcasts. You know, we're getting back into the groove of things. We're getting close to the draft. You know, Brian and I have enjoyed our vacation, and we're not going to retire. You know, we still got at least another 9 years to go, hopefully for the same franchise. But like I say, we're not fortune tellers, but we're fortunate enough to share the special moments that Aaron Donald gave Brian. Till next time, have a good one.